So are you ready to receive the word? Okay, so now if I have to. So don't make me, okay? Don't make me do that. Ugh. So are you going to engage and expect Holy Spirit to work through me? Okay. I'll hold up signs only if necessary. There's three parts to a service. God's got a part, I've got a part, and you've got a part. Okay. The word tells us in Hebrews, talking about those that God delivered out of Egypt, the word preach did not profit them. The word preach, can you imagine? Why was that? Because it wasn't God's fault. He did a good job preaching. It says they did not mix faith with the word. So I need your faith on this, okay? When we mix faith with the word, it lands in our hearts. And it will bear fruit in our life when we act on it, when we mix faith with the living word of God. Praise and worship is such a huge part of the life of the believer. We live a life of worshiping God and praising God in all conditions and circumstances of life. Not just Sunday mornings, not just when things are going good. It keeps us mindful of Him. It keeps our thoughts off of our difficulties and off the opposition, and it holds our thoughts onto the mountain mover himself. So let's go back to Brother Copeland's, Lauren, if you have it, statement. Y'all probably have it memorized by now. When you pray, you lay hold of things. But when you praise, you win battles. So you just can't have the mindset that worship and praise is for when victory is accomplished. Thank you, God, that you've done that, that I got that, whatever, or this happened. It in a sense, so you don't just praise Him then, you praise Him at all times. In a sense that there's no circumstances opposing you. When you're getting opposition, that's the best time to praise. Victory belongs to us regardless of what circumstances oppose you. Now you're going to know why I had played that song. Jesus won the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, Lord. 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus won the victory. Although He's won the victory, we are the victory enforcers. Victory has already been provided, and we enforce it. We enforce it with our faith, with our words, with our praise. As we praise and worship, we are living reminded that the victory is ours. We are not trying to get it. It's ours. We are enforcing it. The enemy is constantly trying to sway us off of victory ground and out of victory thinking. You know when you're thinking victorious and when you're thinking defeated. We know that. We've all been there. Trying to get people to think that they've got to grasp and do something and struggle to get victory. The enemy tries to sway us from right thinking to wrong thinking. I haven't even got started preaching yet. Praise holds us in that victory, in the middle of that circumstance. We don't have to hold out against the devil. He has to hold out against us. We are the ones with the victory. He's the defeated one. He's the one reduced to nothing. He wakes up every morning defeated. Oh, I'm awake again. Oh, I'm defeated. How would you like that? With no hope of ever being victorious. He's been humiliated by Jesus openly, and his future is even worse than his wake-up days. He has to hold out against us. I almost had. The more we understand this mindset that we are the victorious ones, He's defeated, we handle what opposes us differently. Victory belongs to us and already provided. Say, victory is mine. It is. It is. So that was the warm-up. That was my little cheerleading session. So we're going to look at the difference between praise and worship. They're, again, they're a little bit different, but they flow together. Praise is when we praise Him for what He's done, what He's provided for us, and what He's made ours. That's praise. But worship, when we worship, we're thanking and worshiping Him for who He is. It's He is that provided what He has done for us. So He is love, He is compassion, and He's mercy. Out of all that He is, He's provided victory for us. And that's why we praise Him. Got that? We don't want to just be thankful for what He's done. We want to be mindful and thankful for who He is. He's the soon and coming. He is the great I Am. He is the Rose of Sharon. We can just go on and on and on who He is. When you struggle to get healing, just learn to worship the healer. That's who He is. When you struggle to get finances, learn to worship the provider. That's who He is. If you have lack of joy, if all that, worship the one who is all joyful. That's who He is. So, let's go back to what God spoke to Brother Hayes. Lauren, put that one up. I thought it might be helpful if you guys just saw it. My children basically love me, but they live in poverty and sickness and defeat. They don't live in heaven's blessings because they don't worship me enough. I'm going to just stop right there. There's not a time limit on worship. It's whether it's 1 minute or 2 hours. Okay? We just need to worship until we get where we need to be. You're teaching faith, confessions, and you're praying for the sick, but you need to worship me more. This is what the Lord told Brother Norval Hayes, and I went into that in the first lesson. If you teach my children to worship me, I'll do great and mighty things. He's telling you need to worship. I'll do great and mighty things for them. Who will He do great and mighty things for? Those who worship Him. Those who worship Him. Now, I went over that, like I said, in detail. I broke that down on the first message on praise and worship. We are not trying to earn something from God. Don't ever get in your head, even if it sounds like I'm saying that, I'm not saying that. This is just a message that God gave to a godly man who had a healing ministry. He had the signs and the wonders and the miracles at his church. But God told him, you need to teach them to worship me more. So don't ever think that I'm trying to say, well, if we just do this, we'll get God's favor. No, everything's by grace. But what we do want to do is get over into the great and mighty thing. Amen? I want to see great and mighty things every time I come with you guys. Praise and worship sets the atmosphere for great and mighty things to flow. Why? Because our focus is on God. We magnify God, and where He is magnified, because God has provided all that we will ever need, there needs to be a reverence and a respect for Him. Reverence is a part of worship. Reverence is a part of praising God. Reverence is not really shown in this day and time in society we have now. I mean, just look at the news. People don't reverence things. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. It's important that we have a life of praise and worship because it holds into a flow of reverence so that He can bless us the way He wants to. God is a blesser. Disrespect doesn't receive blessing. It hinders. I'm just going to say right here, I know this for a fact because Annie told me. I had to think who told me this story. Someone came into someone's work this week and blasted someone's mother in here. She said it was very embarrassing. She said it was way uncalled for. People don't have respect. Listen, if you've got a problem with something, there is a way. And let me just say, it was not something that anybody's mother's son did. It was just something they weren't happy about. And someone else was telling me how disappointed she was in someone, the way they handled something. thinking they were one way, and they were really grumpy and grouchy and complaining. As a church, I want to tell you, there's a way to handle things, especially if you've got a gripe. You don't take that gripe to someone. You say, God, I got a gripe. This is irritating me. But I would like for them to change this. So I'm going to go and talk to them, but I want to say what you want me to say. Now, they may be the dirty dog of the, you know, whatever. But don't treat them like that. They don't deserve that. I'm just telling you, nobody deserves that. I mean, there have been times I've wanted to say things, and it's like, keep your mouth shut. God's a God of justice. But don't be treating people like that, because you're not going to win that way. You're not going to do it. They're going to do everything they can to not do what you want them to do. You understand what I'm saying? To fight you on that. But if you go and say, you know what? This, I'm just going to make something up. This is not the sun. Okay, it's nothing like that. I think you overcharged me on this. I think this is wrong because I only got one of these and you're saying I've got five. Could you look at that for me? Instead of saying, you're just trying to get rich off people like, you see what I'm saying? I know you know this, but we have to operate like that. And I don't know, it could be a pastor like me that it's just a mistake. It's just a mistake. Okay. Disrespect does not receive blessings. It hinders it. So you know how, I'll go a different direction with disrespect. You know how it is with your own kids and grandkids. If they are disrespectful, you don't know what to do for the little monsters. If all they're just saying, hey, pups, and they don't. Well, you know, it's not like they never have done that, but pups, I want this, I want that. Pups, will you take me here? Pups, will you buy this? Or pups, you need to buy me this. I'm going to say, really? Why? Why do I need to do that? I've done that before. Why do I need to buy you that? And they stop and think like, well, because you buy a lot of stuff. No, but you, who likes that? Who wants to be disrespected? Who wants to be taken for granted? Not me. So anyway, it stops the want to do for them or to do for anybody for so much. We receive from God by faith, and a faith person, which we are, is a thankful, grateful, reverent, respectful, and honorable person towards God. You can't be a faith person and have a disrespect in your life and have a lack of reverence for the things of God. Brother Hagin said in one of his books, when reverence and honor are restored, there will be a restoration and a multiplication of the miracle power of God. Now, I'm going to stop right here. I'll tell you, I watch, when I go to conferences and when I go, I watch how every last single member of that ministry operates. I watch the greeters. I watch the door greeters. I watch the people who do this. I watch them because I want to bring it back here if I don't have that idea. I watch the guy who, you know, is there when they minister. I watch how they minister. I watch how they do it. I mean, I'm recording it all in my brain. One of the things that is most impressive to me about Nancy Dufresne, I have so much in common with her. She's a widow. I handle it like she handled it. I mean, if she goes on, she went on, I went on. There's just so much that I can relate to about her. But one of the things, and Joy can testify to this, and did we go? Was it just me and Steph? Okay, last year, Steph and I, is the way that she honors the people, the older people, especially, well, all older people, but especially in the ministry, which is Pat Harrison's, is the daughter of Brother Kim. And if you've ever, I mean, he's our father of faith. He really is. He's what we devoured. He's who taught us, because it really wasn't anyway. But you can't imagine the level of respect that she gives her. Now, I'm just going to do this for you just so you know. Here's Sister Pat Harris. Am I right? She has her man, which I don't know why, her security guard, her number one man, He gets up, she gets up, he gets up. I'm talking about Pat Harrison. If she gets up, because she's older, she probably needs to go, you know. He gets up. Respectfully. She sits down. He sits down. He makes sure. I mean, they'll scatter to give her a seat, right? And not only that, Joy watched it. I watched it. But she'll say, Sister Pat, at any time I'm talking, at any time during the service, at any time you want to say, you stop me in Mike Schur's. Anytime. Because she respects that woman. She respects her daddy and her. And her husband was the one that, I mean, there's all kinds of about Buddy Harrison and all. I mean, I could tell you stories. But she respects Pat. And here she is sitting over here like this. And then all of a sudden, this one service that we were in about the third day or second day or something, it was just like, Sister Pat, up comes the number one man. He's so cute. Anyway, and he helps her over and he just guards her. I mean, not too close, but close enough. Because, you know, and she sits down, Nancy sits down with her. She doesn't, she goes to her, whatever she's doing, she does. You know what I mean? There's no like, I'm standing, you're sitting. And she begins to just give a message in the spirit. And Nancy's doing this. And they flow together like, I don't know, peanut butter and jelly. I'm not kidding you. When Pauline was here, you all respect. Very. I miss her. You. But it's just like, she'd say, Jake. And she would hang on. Jake, and give a word that touched somebody in here every time. People would come to me and say, how did she know that? I'm going, it's God. It's not me. I didn't tell her because I didn't know. But we honored her. Now, that is the respect that the church is missing. I mean, you have older people come in or older pastors that, and it's just like they're washed up. They are not. There is a wisdom. There is something there, just like I'm telling Maddox, there is a wisdom that this lady knows that Maddox just hasn't experienced yet in life. So if he will honor his parents, if he will honor listening to one of you, he'll know some things that'll save him. And that's the respect and honor that we have to have. We have to have respect. When the word is moving, I know everybody wants to have freedom, but when the Holy Ghost is moving in here, there needs to be a respect and an honor. Amen? I'm so glad you guys know this stuff, and that I'm not going uphill. But anyway, that's one of the things I think I love about her the most, is that the honor, and like Norval Hayes, just because Norval, I told you, I went and saw him, Pat, June and I went and saw him, but just because he's in heaven doesn't mean the word that the word God gave to him is null and void. She honors that word. She honors that word because it's, you know, she respected his ministry. So when Jesus went to his own hometown and he wanted to work miracles for those people, they were the most dear people to him out of any community. Why was that? Because these are the folks that Jesus grew up with. These are the people he knew. He wanted his community blessed. He went there ready and able to bless them. But they were dishonorable and disrespectful towards Jesus. Towards Jesus. Mark 6 says this. They were offended at him. They took offense at Jesus for crying out loud. Jesus said a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house. Now, I want to stop here and say this. I can say this without laughing. I'm thankful for my kids, I am truly. But I'm also thankful that they honor the position I hold here. I mean, they see me, no makeup, in my jammies, you know, all in the natural. I'll just say that. But at home, they don't make fun of what I do. If I call and text Jake something that I feel like the Lord has told me, he readily receives it. He does. Tell me, Mom. Tell me what the Lord said. I can do the same thing with Lauren. They don't make fun of this. They don't make fun of church. They don't make fun of God. And, you know, I do that more because, well, I do it to all of them, but I do it more because they go to church here. And I have that with these two that I don't share with the other three. But Jesus said in that you don't need, they don't respect, you don't get that honor. The reason they were offended was because of dishonor. So therefore he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Just a few sick people were healed. No miracles for that community. Think what they missed out on. What runs together? Dishonor and offense and unbelief. Dishonor, offense, unbelief. If we want to have strong faith, there can be no flow of dishonor. No disrespect, none. We can't do that. You know, we talk here a lot. There may be pastors that I don't agree with, but I try my best not to say anything. I try my best. Unless they're waving a flag that they should not be waving and colors, you know what I mean, and just totally off, I'd say run, don't go there. Faith thrives in an attitude of honor. Now, I could get stuck on respect, honor, and gratitude. I won't lie, it's the thing with me. I don't like ungratefulness. I'll just tell you right now. I don't like it. I don't like it in my family. I don't like it in my friends. I'm just saying, I don't like it. I don't like people being ungrateful. And I despise, not children, but I despise when a child does not respect their parents. I don't like it. I despise when at any age, not respecting a veteran. Big thing with me. An elderly person. I hate that. I don't hate the person that does it. I hate that attitude. I hate that attitude. When Tom comes in, I want respect for him. Noel comes in, better be respecting him. That's as far as I'm going. I'm not going any age down, okay? But you know what I'm saying. I don't want them to be run over. I don't want them to, if need be, get up, give them a seat, help them to their seat, do something but respect them. Okay, so I'm going to stay on track. I could do a whole sermon on gratitude. So we looked at Psalms 104 in an earlier lesson on the proper approach to God's throne. We come with thanksgiving and we come with praise. That is, that's magnifying what is done for you and what we are also grateful for. Having gratitude will keep the enemy from being able to steal your blessing from you. No one can steal from you what you're grateful for. If we lose gratitude, we're not going to have the right hold on that blessing. You have to hold fast to what God's blessed you with. Now, I'm just going to interject this here. If God has blessed you with a good spouse, are you showing your gratitude and your thankfulness to them, or just taking them for granted? I'm trying not to look at many people. How long has it been since you showed them and told them how grateful you are? Thank you, honey, for getting me that glass of tea. Thank you. Thank you for getting up and going to work every day. Thank you for driving me here. Thank you for this vehicle. I appreciate all that you do for us. Do not laugh. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me while I'm trying to be serious. How long has it been since you've been grateful to your parents? Even to your children? Your jobs? You grateful for your job? Your home? You pull up in your driveway and say, I've got a home to come home to. I'm not sleeping on the streets. And besides that, it's beautiful. Your health? We're here. You know, that we, and what you have, having a grateful heart. Being grateful is a magnet for miracles. Being grateful is a magnet for miracles. Do you not hate to be around a complainer? Do you not want to say, oh, that's my phone. Sorry, I got to go. Don't you just want to get away and run as far from them as you can? Complaining is just another thing. You're learning my pet peeves. I mean, it's like you're looking at a healthy person and they're complaining and you say, stop. Have you got cancer in your body? Are you disease-ridden? Are you in a hospital right now? No. Then be grateful. Okay. If we start our day, Father, I thank you that you're my God. And I thank you that I'm your child. You're showing gratitude just because you belong to him. That's coming into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Once again, that draws us out of the mental arena into the area of our heart. Faith is in our heart, not our mind. It's not up here. There's not any faith up here, but I have it here. So hook up your tongue to your heart. Brother Hagin has a list of 9 kinds of prayer in the New Testament that governs the New Testament believer. So briefly, I'm going to tell you 9. Number 1, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith changes things. This prayer, always based on God's revealed will in his word, never contains if. Lord, if it be your will, heal me. No, you need to know what the word of God says about healing. He's our healer. And that's found in Matthew 21, 22, Mark 11, 24. That's the prayer of faith. Number 2, the prayer of consecration. The prayer of dedicating your life to God and his plan. That's Luke 22, 42. I'm just doing these briefly. Number 3, the prayer of commitment. This is the prayer where you can cast all your care on the Lord. You're committing everything of your life to his care so that he can work on it. That's 1 Peter 5, 7. Number 4, prayer of intercession. We'll have to tell you what that is, but when you're praying on the behalf of some of another, when we take prayer requests, that's prayer of intercession. A prayer of supplication. Number 5, when you're making requests of God. Number 6, united prayer. When the body of Christ comes together, that's Acts 4, 23 through 31. Number 6, united prayer. Number 7, a prayer of agreement. When two on earth agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 through 20. We know that one by heart. Number 8, a prayer in praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 14 through 15. Number 9, the prayer of praise and worship. This is the highest type of prayer and the most important type of prayer because it has to accompany all other 8 types of prayer. You got to have number 9 to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't even approach the throne without the prayer of praise and worship. That's why this series is so important. When the Lord tells us, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving, that's Philippians 4, 6, the prayer of praise and worship are so important, you can't pray the other ones effectively unless you've approached God with praise through praise and worship. And you have thanked God for having heard you. What is that? 1 John 5? It's kind of like bookends. Worship and praise, and then in the middle, you ask God what you want, and you thank him. Okay, the word tells us an event recorded in the Bible of an important point about our worship of God. This moment in time was so huge in God's love story to us, and the account and the words that were spoken at this event are only mentioned one time in the Bible. The day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as the people cheered and worshiped him. I didn't give this to Lauren. This is... Let me read. 35. I'm going to read. That's Luke 19:35. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their garments on the coat, and they set Jesus on it. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the street. When he was coming near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with loud voices. Praise the Lord for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's what they were doing. The Bible tells us that a large crowd had gathered, and they were screaming and praising God. Yesterday, there was a large crowd gathered, screaming and saying, no King's Day. Can you imagine the true King and this scene? Jesus was riding into town on a donkey, and a great number of people were praising him and laying their clothes on the ground so he could pass on them. Then something happened to interrupt this celebration. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Rebuke's a harsh word. It's a very harsh word. And some, they flat out, the same guys who killed him, they didn't like and instructed him to rebuke the disciples. In essence, the Pharisees said, "We don't like this. Now, do what we say and make them stop cheering." Jesus' response was amazing. He said, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." I believe that's literal. Let me tell you why. Jesus was saying, this moment is so important for all mankind's redemption. Every man is about to be purchased. I will become the sacrificial lamb, and their sins will be forever paid for. Forever. I am going to die a sinner's death, and I will be their substitute. And I will make it so whoever calls on my name will be saved from their sins, and they will be with me forever. There will be praise. The significance in earth that God, through these however many years, we're going to say 6,000, but you know, I could go in, that's another sermon. That God was working his way through a pure bloodline, a pure bloodline. You know, Bobby talked about all those people, the reason he had to go through some of those, pure bloodline. And I'm talking, it wasn't tainted with giants and all of that. And to this moment where he finally made it, he's in his last final days. And he's come to take care of everything we're ever going to need. Come to give us the victory that we walk in now. So imagine, earth knew this. The earth. It talks about the earth crying out. Can you imagine if he rebuked them, the people shut up, and the rocks started singing? That'd be a sad day. Kind of cool, but sad. "Even if my disciples stop cheering, the rocks under your feet will immediately begin giving me glory." God sees who gives him glory. Rick Renner said this, "Praise and worship are crucial because they are a form of conduit for God's presence to enter the atmosphere, which shifts the environment and brings about healing, deliverance, revelation. Worship allows God to be enthroned on the praises of his people." When we worship him, God is able to be enthroned. He manifests his glory, which discerns and meets the needs of those worshiping. It's why it's so important to worship when we're good. It doesn't have to be here, but it could be in your car. But when you worship God, healing can happen. Everything that you need can happen. When people worship, and then he goes on and breaks it down a little bit more. When people worship, it creates a channel for God's presence to flow into a situation, shifting the atmosphere and breaking bondage. You always hear me say, change the atmosphere, change the atmosphere. When people worship, God's glory comes, which is described as heavy. Anybody know what that feels like? Weighty sense, loaded with everything good. This glory discerns and meets the needs of people in a supernatural way. This is all God's wanting to do, is just meet the needs of his people. When people praise and worship, they encounter God's powerful presence, leading to healing, deliverance, and revelation. This is all what worship does. Just worship. This can happen in a church setting. It can happen at home. It can happen in your car. We don't have to be there. Listen, there's something about corporate anointing that when people come together, but God's still with you in the car. And if it's embarrassing to you and you want to get better, work in the car. Work at your home. Go around your house. Be loud when no one's there. When Walter's just there and Wayne, and you can just, you know, and they just kind of look at you and perk their ears up. They probably know more than you think they do. Worship is not just music, but a way of life that involves an open and pure heart before God. John 4:23 says this, "A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For The Father is seeking just such people as these as His worshipers. He's seeking us. Let's be the ones that He finds. Let's be the ones. We talked about Jehoshaphat picking out all of his men who were praisers. He said, who's your worshipers here? And they picked him out. People, men who were praising, men who did this as a lifestyle, men who had a lifestyle of praise. These were the ones on the front line. God told them and us, don't fear, don't be dismayed, don't be ever overwhelmed, stand your ground. He told them to say this, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. The battle is not ours, but God's. When you pray, you lay hold of things. But when you praise, you win battles. They did that in front of millions. When you're going through opposition, anything that tries to steal your health, your joy, your peace, your happiness, your finances, the first reaction of people is to fix the problem. Calculate. What can I do? Blah, 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 blah. Deal with the opposition. Natural man wants to do something in the natural. The mind wants to figure it out. But faith has a praise and a worship that's a flow from heaven. It's the atmosphere of heaven. We get to choose. We choose. Are we going to worry? Are we going to do what Terry is preaching about, what the Word of God says? The enemy, I promise you, will tell you this. This is what he'll say. It's not enough. Is that the best you got? That's all you're going to do with this big, big, horrible problem I'm trying to give you? Is that the best you got? If we saw where praisers and worshipers in Jehoshaphat's story, and they went out on the front line and they defeated millions, because his army alone was 1,600,000, and it was a large army, bigger than Jehoshaphat's. And they just start killing each other. And they walked away with the spoils. Well, we can walk away with the spoils too. Praise and worship is enough. It is. So we're just going to call it the praise cure. So don't let the enemy tell you that's too simple. Because let me tell you what, it's not really simple because your flesh says, I'm not going to do that. I'm a man. I'm a man's man. I'm this. I'm not going to praise and worship. What do you want to do? Go around and fight it for months and wrangle in your head, lose weight, lose sleep, can't eat, all that? Or are you just going to say, I may be a man's man or I may be a beautiful woman and I don't want to, you know, to undignify myself? Because that's what you have to do. You have to get yourself out of the way and say, you know what, I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to let Him do His thing. And I'm going to let the praise cure. And every time a thought comes in my head, instead of yum, 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 talking about it, and telling everybody you know, and it's like you've memorized it. You've memorized the problem, and you want to vomit on everybody. You know what? But you know what? They say, well, how's Denise so-and-so doing? And instead of her just, she says, well, it's a tough situation, but my God's tougher. He's bigger. I'm worshiping myself for this. And they're going, oh, okay, bye. Or, because they don't want to, you know, if they don't understand that, they don't want to hear that. Or someone just might say, tell me more about that. Not about the problem. Tell me about that worshiping thing. You know what? We can come to church and that's great. And I'm so glad you guys, all you guys showed up today. But when we go out of here, we are the church. We're the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus. And we got to be telling the world something. Because if you look at yesterday, there's some nutcases out there. They're nuts. And God loves them. That's crazy. So we got to tell them something. You're like, we don't have kings in this country. Okay, I think I'm deadline.